What's up? Oh, wow. Good morning, everybody. Hey, let me start by saying we've got some guests. I always hate doing this. I'm Pastor Chris. Welcome to my church. You know, it feels so weird, but I'm Chris. I'm the pastor at Motion. It's great to meet you. Everybody, tell me your name on three. 1, 2, 3. What a pleasure, right? And Shelly is my wife. She's the one that plays the keyboard. This is where it's always fun as a dude when you marry somebody that's very beautiful. There's always going to be issues, and they usually revolve around other dudes. And they just, for some reason, they just like to point out that, man, you married so far out of your league. I'm like, thanks for the reminder. We went to Mexico on a cruise this week, and we're walking down the streets. And of course, when you're walking down the streets in a touristy area, they heckle, right? They're just kind of, you know, trying to mess with you and want you to buy their stuff. And so this one guy is like, hey, lucky guy. And he was just, you know, just reminding me how pretty Shelly is and how hideous I am, I guess. And it's funny when we take, you know, have you guys ever been on a cruise? Anybody been on a cruise? They do glamour shots like Hollywood portraits, you know, soften them up. And so it's so funny, without fail, every time we take a couple picture, they're like, okay, you can go. And then they want to take a solo shot of Shelly for their own personal portfolio, I guess. Such is my life. It's what it is. It's, you think I'm playing? I am absolutely serious. So this morning, we're going to continue our series called Faith 2.0. And up to this point, we've kind of talked about a few things, all of the P's. We talked about how things like practical teaching encourage our faith. They're faith catalysts to help us to grow in our faith. Providential relationships. Like, you've got people in your life that I'm convinced that God has put them there for you to help you grow in your faith, and you for them. It works. It's both ways, mutually beneficial, right? And then we talked about, last week was really cool because Pastor Kerry came from First Baptist Church, which is just fun to me because, like, we're a bunch of mutts as far as our church backgrounds go. We've got people from every church background. We've got some Baptists. We've got some recovering charismatics. We've got, I mean, just anything and everything. So it's really cool to me because I think more and more, especially with, you know, people that didn't grow up in church, like, denominations aren't as important. Like, we had a lot of conversations. It's so funny how things work out. We were on the cruise, and we ended up at a breakfast with people that we didn't know. One was planning a church in New Orleans. Another couple had just helped plan another church in St. Louis. And we didn't know, it wasn't a Christian cruise, right? I mean, it's just a cruise. It's obviously not a Christian cruise. Go to the Lido deck. You can figure it out. Everybody's like, hey, right? So we met all of these people from all of these different backgrounds, and it was so cool. And I was going somewhere with that, and I have no idea where it was, but it was really cool. So anyway, we had Pastor Kerry last week from First Baptist Church. He's a really good friend of mine, and he came and he talked about how faith is a journey, and kind of the idea behind it was that personal ministry is one thing that helps you grow in your faith. Serving other people is one of the greatest things that you can do to grow in your own personal faith. And today, what we're going to talk about, and this is cool. What I'm excited about is that this one, no one is exempt from, because every single one of us has circumstances in our life that we have to go through or deal with that we wouldn't want to if we got to chart our own course, right? Like, it's just, that's life. If you have this idea of life that everything is going to be awesome all of the time, you're dumb, right? I mean, I love you, or you're naive, or you haven't started working yet, or your mama's rich and you're staying at home playing Xbox all the time. Like, that's the only way that you could be convinced of that. Like, life has adversity, it has difficulty, and so through these pivotal circumstances, our faith can grow, or you can allow it to beat you down, and hopefully you choose the first. We want to grow in our faith, and circumstances are one of the greatest way to do that. I can't tell you how many times in my life, and it's funny to me, I guess it's just the way it works out, like, good things rarely grow my faith. Like, things, when things are awesome and things are really good and there's not a lot of struggle, I don't grow a whole lot. But when things get tough and I kind of get through it and I can, you know, process what's gone on, I realize that my faith has grown more often through adversity than good times. And so I think everybody's probably like that to some degree. We've all had situations in our life that we would call, you know, make or break situations. And hopefully, you know, you get through it and it made you, it didn't break you. And what's so cool to me, it's just ironic, I guess, that trials and difficulties and struggles are always referenced as fire. You guys heard that? Oh, the fires of trial. Even in the New Testament, you hear about fiery tribulations, and fire is always associated with struggle and difficulty and trials. And you know what fire does? It refines, it purifies, it forges, it strengthens. And so to me, there's a lot to be taken away from that. I worked at a machine shop. My first job out of high school was at a machine shop. Culture shock. If you don't know what, if you've had a job in an industrial environment, you know what I'm talking about. And so I started working at a machine shop, and what was crazy, it was so fascinating, so many cool things that they did. And they sent their chains off to be heat treated because they're so much stronger when you heat treat them. And I was like, that's so true. Like, when you go through struggles, you get stronger. If you never deal with adversity, you're weak and you're not living. You're not really fully living. But if you go through adversity and you go through struggle, you get stronger. Your faith grows. And so maybe your make or break situation was, this can look like a lot of different things. Maybe it was like that final straw. Like, so many of us, we're runners. Not in the sense that we run 5Ks, because we don't. I mean, we actually do have a lot of runners in the room. But we run from God. And we do this in different ways. Like, your situation may look different. But a lot of times we run from God, and we run from God. I know that was my life up until my senior year in high school. It's like I always knew that I wanted to be a Christian. I always knew that I always, like, had this reverence and respect for God. But I didn't want to go that route because I knew that meant a lot of wholesale changes in my life. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I ran from God, and then finally it was like the final straw, and I'm like, okay, like, these circumstances led me to finally and fully give my life to God and say, you know, I'm done doing this my way. I want to do it your way. Maybe it was a situation that kind of just solidified your trust in the grace of God, that He is good and that everything really is going to work out on your behalf. We've got this saying, it's all going to work out. It always does. It's just, it's funny to me, like, people that are melodramatic or hyper-dramatic or just dramatic, people that are dramatic, like, when they're going through stuff, it's like, this is their response to adversity. I'm gonna die! No, you're not. Like, you're gonna make it. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna get through it. It all works out. It always does. And so when we approach adversity with the right mentality, man, it makes all the difference in the world. When we approach it with what I like to call the right stuff. We should make a movie called The Right Stuff. Are we late to the game on that one? And so what we're going to look at today is three things that I think are the right stuff with respect to going through circumstances and growing through circumstances. That was good. You should write that down. Don't just go through them. Grow through them. I told one of the guys this morning, I'm going to preach all morning like a brother. And if you don't know what that, man, just go look up T.D. Jakes. That's what I'm going to do all morning. And you get, it would not be good. So the first right thing or the right stuff this morning that we're going to look at is having the right perspective. Perspective is everything. I mean, have you guys seen the Brain Games TV show? How they'll change the perspective of a shot. Like, you know, you put something at a certain distance and something else closer, and it makes the thing that's closer look bigger than the thing that's at a great distance. And that's exactly what we do with our problems. And a hush fell over the crowd. Like, we do that. We make our problems massive and our God minuscule when it should be flip-flopped and the other way around. Like, God is so much bigger than any problem that you could ever possibly face. And for some reason, we allow our problems to become so much more than they are in our lives. But it's all about perspective. The most important element of properly dealing with adversity is approaching it with the, since we're going ham with the peas, it's approaching it with the proper perspective. Say that 10 times fast, right? And one of the most, you guys have heard this if you went to church as a kid or VBS or you've grown up in church, you've heard this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I think what happens here, I think sometimes that gets misconstrued to mean that everything in your life is going to be good all of the time. And that's not what it says. Like, we kind of bend and twist things so that they're advantageous for us, right? Because we want things easy. Like, nobody wakes up, we've talked about this, nobody wakes up like, give me a hard day, God. No. Like, we pray for easy. We pray for peace. We pray for patience. We pray for things that make our day easier. And it's not always going to be easy. Like, we're going to have difficulty. And so when people misconstrue this verse, they're doing it probably out of selfish, you know, gain or ambition. It doesn't say that everything is going to be good in your life. It says that everything is going to work for good in your life. It doesn't mean that everything that you face is going to be pleasant for you to face. It means that you're going to get through it, and you're going to grow through it, and you're going to be better because of it. It isn't that things are going to be good. It's just that they're going to work for your good. That's an organ. Silent as it may be. Approaching life just with this understanding that you're going to have struggles and you're going to have adversity, you know what it does? It just helps you. because it helps you not to become disillusioned with this idea of following Jesus. Because sometimes we package and market and sell Jesus like he's going to make your life all good and all better. And then people start going to church and they start tithing and they start following Jesus to the best of their ability and things bad happen. And they're like, I didn't sign up for this. And so then they have this skewed perspective of what Jesus is about and who he is. And I think if we're just upfront with it, if we're honest about it, like following Jesus is hard sometimes. You know, it's a lot easier to lie sometimes than to tell the truth. Do you remember that as a kid, right? Did you do it? No, my brother did it. You did it, right? It's so much easier to go the dishonest way sometimes. It's much more difficult to be honest and truthful. And so following Jesus at times is more difficult. And if we're just upfront about that, it's better for everybody. And so just understanding that is a great place to start. Our circumstances, and we all know this, but I think sometimes we wish that it wasn't true. Our circumstances are out of our control. Like, you can't control everything that happens in your life. And all of you control freaks, just your blood pressure started rising a little bit. Like, you just can't control everything that goes on in your life. And you know what you especially can't control? Other people, especially women. It's so true. Get married. You'll find out. Now, apparently men are much easier to control than women, but that's another. We're going to start a series next week called Love Handles. Why are you guys laughing? I'm serious. And we're talking about all of that stuff. So it's going to be really good. And what's really cool, let me just kind of set that up. It's not just for people that are married. It's for people that one day hope to be married or just people that are in relationships or you want to be in a relationship. This is what's so funny to me. People that are like, no, I don't want a relationship. I ain't trying to do all that right now. Ain't nobody got time for that. That just means they can't find nobody. Let's be honest, right? So when you're faced with adversity and difficult circumstances, and you know that you can't control them, the only thing that you have control of is you and your response. You can ask yourself one of two questions. Like, how am I going to approach this? Am I going to get bitter or am I going to get better? Man, if you felt the way I felt about some of this stuff that's coming out, you guys would be like, my. And one thing that's just really always helped me kind of understand this and grasp this is something you've heard us probably say before. This is not original, unfortunately. But when we're dealt with a setback, it's important to remember that it might just be a setup for what God wants to do in your life. And this has happened so many times in my life. And it's so, man, if you don't write things down, like, you're missing out. Like, write stuff down because it's so cool. One of the coolest things that you could ever do is go back and look at things that you've written down over the last, you know, 5, 7, 10 years and see how faithful God is and see the things that you were struggling with and how you got through them. Because, man, what it does is it encourages your faith. It inspires your faith. It helps you to trust more fully. Well, I got through that, so I can get through this. And so write stuff down. That was free. Didn't cost a cent. But I've seen this in my life. I've seen how you know, going through circumstances and the things that I perceive as a setback are really just a setup. When we started the church almost 3.5 years ago, we talked about it. This is one of the hardest things that we've ever done. It took me 2 years to convince Shelley that this is what we were supposed to do. And that's talk about not being able to control a woman, right? You know, if I had it my way, I'd be like, woman, we're starting a church. Let's go. And tomorrow would be on. And she's like, she's got a backhand. And she wears rings. Jewelry is the devil. I thought you guys should know that. And so all of that to say, like, it was a process for us. And there was a lot of, you know, consternation and discussion and should we do this? And as with anything that you start, timing is everything, right? Like, you don't want to do the right thing at the wrong time because it still makes it the wrong thing. And so we wanted to do the right thing at the right time, and that was something that we just really struggled with. And there were some circumstances that happened in our life that were very unfavorable for us. It was a struggle that we had to deal with, but it kind of forced our hand, so to speak. And so these adversities, these things that we wouldn't have chosen to go through, actually are what propelled us to go ahead and start the church. And so, like I said, seeing that now, it's easy to see how a setback is a setup. And I wouldn't change any of it for the world, right? This is the greatest thing in the world to me. And it's like I said last week, it was like a vision that I had from God. And to see it somewhat achieved and accomplished in beginning is one of the most fulfilling things that I've ever done. Starting this church has been the hardest thing and the most fulfilling thing that I've ever done. And the same will be true for you. Whatever you choose to step out and do in faith, it will be the hardest thing, but it will be the most fulfilling thing that you ever do. last thing we're going to look at, and there's so many like sub, I've got so much to say this morning. I'm trying not to be Yankee on you guys and talk fast because I can do that. All you Southerners are supposed to be like, yeah, right? I'm a Southern. I'm born in Long Beach, Texas, Good Shepherd represent. If I wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't be here. And if you can just jot that down and the you know, somewhere in your brain that you can retrieve it whenever you need it, and you're going through something, and that something may be the thing that helps you to get where it is that God wants you to be or to become the person that God wants you to be. If you wouldn't have been there, if you wouldn't have dealt with that adversity, if you wouldn't have dealt with that loss or that person, then you wouldn't get to where it is that God wants you to go. And so, man, just remembering that if you wouldn't have been there, then you wouldn't be here, makes all the difference in the world. Perspective makes all the difference in the world. So that's the first right thing, the right perspective. The second one is the right questions. How many of you guys are inquisitive by nature? You were that kid. Why? Because I said so. That's why. I have a son that's inquisitive, so that's my stock answer. And I always said I wasn't going to be the parent that did that. And I've come to the conclusion that anything that you said that you wouldn't be is exactly what you'll become with respect to parenting. So you guys will figure that out. So that's the second aspect is, man, you got to ask the right questions when you deal with adversity. You're going through circumstances that are difficult, because if you don't, you'll just kind of repeat the same cycle over and over and you'll never grow from it. And the point is not to go through it, it's to grow through it, right? I heard a story one time. It was such a fascinating story, and I believe it's a true story. I don't know. Preachers make up stories and they pass them off as truth. I don't know if this is true or not, so I'll just be up front with you guys. Thought you guys would think that was funny. You didn't. Tough crowd, right? But I heard a story one time about a guy who was working for this company, and they made this major deal and ended up just falling apart, just a very bad business deal. And he was the one that was responsible. He was kind of leading up this initiative or whatever. And it cost the company millions of dollars. Now, how would you go to sleep at night knowing, you know, oh man, I just lost my company $5 million today, right? So he goes into work the next day, knowing that he just cost his company millions of dollars. He goes into his boss's office fully expecting to get the Donald Trump treatment. You're fired. Do you remember that? It's good stuff. You guys don't watch TV. You read books all the time. Very studious group we have here. And honest, too. So anyway, he expected to get fired by, you know, his boss. And his boss's response was just timeless and classic and incredible, the insight and the principle. He was like, why in the world would we fire you now? We just spent millions of dollars training you. And that's us. Like, our circumstances are like that. When we learn from our circumstances, it's the most beneficial thing that we can do. Not to repeat it is foolishness, but if you learn from it and grow from it and your faith is increased and strengthened from it, then it was worth every ounce of energy and money and time or whatever it is that you had to spend to accomplish it. It's the growing and the learning and asking the right questions that makes all the difference. The same mentality would benefit us greatly. Growing from our experiences and becoming a mature follower of Jesus is probably the highest pinnacle of going. You just don't go through things. Experience doesn't make us better. Like, this is, you hear this said all the time that, oh, experience is a great teacher and experience will make you better. It's funny because I know people that have been married and divorced and married and divorced. They've got plenty of experience. It's evaluated experience that makes you better. It's looking at the circumstances and what could I have done differently or better, or how could I have contributed to the situation to make it better? Or you guys see what I'm saying? This is what we like to do. We like to point at other people when the problem most of the time is us, right? At least the thing that you can control. You can't control other circumstances or other people, but you can control yourself. When you take a candid look at your circumstances, your lives, and most importantly, yourselves, that's how you make adjustments moving forward. Let me give you kind of an example. Like, most of our drama is self-inflicted drama. And we don't want to admit that. Nobody wants to admit that a lot of the problems in their life are problems because they made them problems. And so when you look at your life just honestly, and maybe your circumstances, and you look at them honestly, you can approach it like, maybe there's a sin in my life that's causing the drama that I'm going through. It's so funny to me. Like, people will come to Shelly and I, and they'll want counsel, right? They'll want us to talk them through some stuff. And they don't want to listen. They just want to talk. which is so frustrating. Man, go find a brick wall if that's all you want to do. Because you'll have the same conversation 47 times and nothing changes. They don't want to change. They just want to unload crap on you and waste your time, which is so selfish. If you really want to change, then change. Because odds are, I didn't mean to get off on you guys. I'm just going. I've got like specific circumstances in my mind that I'm running through. And I'm like, I'm not going to call names. Not going to say names, right? And then I'll end up saying a name because I'm telling myself not to say a name. But that's the thing. Like, you've got to learn from your circumstances. You've got to learn from your struggles. You've got to learn from your adversity. And if you're responsible in any way and you don't make any changes, you're not going to change anything. You're going to go through the same thing over and over and over. So if there's something that's off or wrong or sinful in your life, you need to change that so that when you face the adversity again, you don't succumb to it because of that sin. That was poetic. Maybe it's just an attitude thing. Like, maybe you approach the circumstance with the wrong attitude, because I've done this. Have you ever been right but so wrong at the same time? Like, especially, like, conflict, arguments, confrontations. You can be right, but if your attitude stinks, you're still wrong. And if you're trying to belittle people, you're still wrong. And if you're trying to make a point rather than making a difference, you're still wrong. And I am so bad about this. Like, you know, my daughter's a preteen now. You know what that means? I mean, hold up. Right? Just that little, and what's funny, like, I've noticed how immature I am, because anytime she says something snarky, I say something snarky right back. Like, and that's just my nature. I'm just like, what? What you say to me? And like, I don't know where it comes from. I got some ghetto in me somewhere and it comes out. And so we just kind of, you know. And Shelly's like, seriously, grow up, right? I'm like, what? That's how I deal with stuff. I'm a man, 40. But it's funny that I can be right, and, you know, whatever it is that she wants to do is wrong, and I make the rules, this is my house. But if I have the wrong attitude, I'm still wrong. If I don't look at the situation and try to learn from it myself and how I can approach it differently, maybe with a little more patience, maybe with the understanding that her prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed and she's a preteen girl with emotions going wild, patience and understanding, then I can grow personally, and everybody benefits when we do that. Like, grow from your circumstances, and it is only through evaluated experience. There's this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It's just really good. It applies in so many other areas, but it makes sense here too. It says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Like, that would be enough, right? Like, examine yourselves. One version says to examine yourself daily to see whether or not you're in the faith. And I'm like, man, that is so perfect and appropriate for what we're talking about. When you're going through circumstances, you're going through struggles, and you're down and you're beat down, or however your emotional state is, just take some time and examine yourself. Control the one thing that you can control, you. And you do that by looking at yourself, examining yourself, being honest, test yourselves. And this is what it says. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. And that last part seems really hard, but I think, maybe I'm wrong. This is just kind of my opinion. It says, surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. I think one way that we can take that is, I didn't imitate Christ in the circumstance. I didn't have the attitude of Jesus when I was dealing with that person. Jesus was not represented well in the way that I responded to that adversity. And so you have failed the test of genuine faith. And I think, man, if we just look at our circumstances like that, we're so much better for it. If we ask the right questions, we can grow through our circumstances. I heard a really cool teaching one time about asking, not just asking questions, but asking the right questions. Sometimes we like to ask, why, God? Like, oh, God, why did I have to go through this? And like, we frame our questions with so much selfishness sometimes, right? Like, God, why didn't you make my life so much easier and better and make me 6'5", 230 with a laser rocket arm? Peyton Manning, it's a man crush thing, you wouldn't understand. Okay, good. So, like, we kind of frame our questions like that. Like, oh, God, why did you make me go through this? And why is this happening? And why? And we're better to ask what? Like, what can I learn from this. What can I change in my life as a result of the things that I've gone through? So it's not just asking questions, it's asking the right questions. And that's the second right thing. And the last one, for those of you that take notes and are awesome and make me so happy. People that take notes, like, but this is what's funny. A lot of people take notes and they leave them here. I'm like, what's the point? It was an accident, right? Actually, that's still beneficial. They say that what you write down, you retain a significantly larger percentage of. But I'd prefer you to go home and like plaster it on your mirrors or something. Change your life. It's good. The last one is this, the right resolve. Because this is what we do. We start a lot of things. We don't finish much, right? And you know what I'm talking about. Like, we don't have to go into any kind of depth or detail. We know that, man, I am so good, so good. Let me give you an example. 23 days ago, we had a new year. And everybody's like, yeah, I'm going to change some things. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stop doing this. And we initiate a lot of things. But we don't finish much. And that comes down to not having the resolve, the resolution, which is just ironic. Resolution. It takes resolution to accomplish a resolution, right? You've got to have the right resolve to get through anything that's difficult. And that's what's so funny to me. It's like we want great things with very little effort. Nothing in life works like that. Nothing. If it's always, there's this, you know, very simple formula, input equals output. What you put in is what you get out. If you want a great relationship, you put a lot into that relationship. Relationships don't just happen like they do for the first 3 weeks and then the honeymoon is over and you got to work. Like, relationships are work, it's communication, it's conflict resolution. If you want a great relationship, you better put a great deal of work into it. If you want to be successful in your business or your work or your schooling, you got to put a lot into it. Input equals output. And a lot of times, we don't approach it with the right resolve. We don't give it the necessary effort for it to be successful. And more than that, like, we're really good. I'm really good. I don't know about you guys. I'm really good in short sections. Like, I'm a sprinter, not a marathoner, right? You can tell by my frame. And I'm not very fast either, so I wouldn't be a very good sprinter. So the point is that we do it in seconds, like just these quick little bursts. Like, we're good for, you know, just a few weeks or a few days or whatever, but we're not very good over time and sustained effort and sustained energy. And that's what resolve is. It's making a commitment and following it through all the way through. Like, there's this old, you know, Christian hymn, and it's the I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. You remember that? You ever hear that? I went to my grandparents' church when I was a kid, you know, every once in a while. And I just, it's like they always sang the same three, they sung the same three songs. And this was one of them. And it's, I have decided to follow Jesus. And it finishes with this finality that's so good. And it says, no turning back, no turning back. It's resolve, it's commitment. It's, I'm not going to quit when things get tough. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? That one's so cheesy, but it's so good and appropriate. And I think, man, just approaching life like that, approaching adversity like that, because it's going to happen. Like, you're going to face adversity. And when you do, you need to have the right resolve. You look at every success story known to mankind, and I would say 99.9% of them have an extreme element of resolve. I heard one guy talk about how for every success are 7 failures, right? And most of us would quit after the second or third failure, like, oh, it's just not working. It's not meant to be, right? And I think that having the right resolve is what will help you finally and fully get to where it is that you want to be in learning and growing through your adversity. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That's good. One of my favorite quotes in the world is from Winston Churchill. And I like quotes. I don't know. They're really short and simple for me. I like books with pictures. I don't want to read the whole novel. I want the excerpts, right? And so I heard a quote from Winston Churchill. I heard another quote one time. This was funny. He said, this lady said, sir, if I were your husband, or she said, sir, if I were your wife, I would poison your drink. And his response was so clever. He was like, madam, if I were your husband, I would drink it. And I'm like, wow, so witty. But one of my favorite quotes from Winston Churchill was this, and it was actually cool because if you look at the circumstances and the context, it was during World War II, and, you know, there was a lot going on. The country that he was responsible for was being bombed by the Germans, and so he was talking about it, and this was his response. Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And I'm like, man, if that was our mantra for life, like that no matter what we face, like I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Never give in. No turn, like chants are so powerful. I don't, it's kind of creepy, but it's good. And man, if we just approach life with that kind of resolve, the right resolve, that we're never going to give in, we're never going to quit, we're never going to stop, we're not going to let our circumstances tell us what we're going to do, we're going to tell our circumstances what we are going to do, because that's the only thing that you control. And so when we do that, man, our faith grows. Anytime that you step out in faith or you kind of walk in this lifestyle of faith, your faith grows as a result of it. It's one of the most difficult and fast, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, which came first? Like, you got to have faith to get more faith, but then without faith, you can't get, I don't know. It's very confusing. But you guys are smart. You understand because you're studious and you don't watch Netflix, right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. This is one of my favorite verses. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but I thought, given the context of our discussion, I couldn't get it out of my head. And it says this, Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's all about resolve. It's all about finishing it. It's all about when you're going through something. This is another Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill's getting a lot of play today. I don't know. He said, when you're going through hell, just keep going. Like, and what we like to do is, for whatever reason, the human condition is such that it likes drama, apparently. And so when we're going through difficulty, we like to kind of hang out there for a little while and pitch a tent and you know, have campfire and let's have drama all of the times in our life. And that's just not what we're supposed to be. That's not what we're supposed to be about. When you're going through it, go through it. Don't just go through it. Grow through it. Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to pray for us as a church. Specifically, I think there are three sections or categories that everybody would fall into. Maybe everything in your life is good. And if that's you, that's awesome. Lock this in the vault because you will need it. It's just inevitable. It's life that you're going to deal with adversity. The second group is maybe you're going through some adversity. Maybe you're going through a tough time in your life. Maybe you've got some stuff that you just got to confront and deal with. And I hope that this just helps you to stay on the right path. Just remember what we've talked about. Remember what Jesus kind of said. I love the way that Shelley brought that up. He's the author and the finisher or perfecter of our faith. He doesn't just start something. He finishes what he starts. And so just remember, man, God is good. He's got you in his hands. Everything is going to work for your good when you get through it or as you grow through it. So just don't quit and have the right resolve if you're going through adversity. And the last one, and this is probably one of the most volatile circumstances you could be in, is when you come out of something. Have you ever come out of a season in your life where it was rough, and you're just emotionally and spiritually drained? Have you ever felt like that? Amen. You've gone through so much and you've dealt with so much, you're just kind of tired. You're tired of fighting. You're tired of you know, putting on a front. You're tired of just going through the motions. And I think that's a tough place to be. So this morning, if that's you, man, we want to just pray specifically over you guys. We're going to sing a song after this that I think really will help, hopefully in some way. Maybe it'll inspire you, because I think we're supposed to live life with hope. We're supposed to live life with inspiration and kind of an anticipation of what's going on. Like, you should love life. Not that it's always easy, but it's worth living and it's worth loving. So this morning, I'm going to pray for us, and then the band's going to come up and play this song. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for everything that you've done for us. God, that your great love for us is such that you gave your son to die on the cross for our sins. God, I pray that we never, ever, ever forget that you finished what you started. God, that you didn't quit in the middle of your adversity, God, but you follow through so that we may have life in you. God, I pray that you help us, God, this morning. God, if we've gone through a season of adversity or difficulty, God, I pray that this morning, God, will be a morning of hope. God, that we would just be reminded that you're still in control, that you're still God, that you're still going to do things on our behalf, that you still love us, that you still have a plan for us and a purpose for us and a reason for us being here and having breath in our lungs. God, I pray that this morning, that your love and your grace and your hope would fill every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.